Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series I've entitled Christian Philosophy. Tomorrow is going to be my last day to teach on Christian Philosophy 1. Now, I am going to have a Christian Philosophy 2, but it's really totally different. This has been dealing with kind of theological issues about how you've got to believe in the Word of God, make Jesus your Lord, and have a relationship with God and things like that. My second Christian philosophy set is going to be talking about social issues. We're going to deal with homosexuality, abortion, marriage, remarriage, whether there's a heaven and a hell, things like this. And so anyway, that's kind of a separate thing. But this coming Friday, tomorrow, will be my last day to deal with this Christian Philosophy 1. I have an album with 6 teachings in it, and we're drawing to a close. So I encourage you to please get these materials. You know, as I've expressed during these 4 weeks I've been teaching on this, I consider this to be foundational. This is stuff that you've got to believe. A philosophy is something that all of us have, but with most of us, it's been polluted, contaminated by the way the world thinks. We've got to get to where we have a philosophy, a way of thinking based on the Word of God. And so that's what I've been dealing with. I haven't got time to go back through everything I've been teaching, but yesterday I started talking about God's a good God. And actually, this is something that I've said a number of times during this series, and these things overlap. But I believe that this is a philosophy that you've got to have. If Adam and Eve would have just believed without any reservation that God is a good God and that He wouldn't do anything bad, anything to hurt them, then they could have totally overcome this temptation that Satan threw at them, because it was conditioned upon them believing that God was a bad God and that He was doing something to hinder them and to keep them from reaching their full potential. See, if they would have had this philosophy, they could have just said, look, I don't care what you're saying, I know God. God is a good God. God would never withhold anything good from me, and that would have been the end of the temptation. Likewise, it would be that way with us if we would just know that God is a good God. But here comes religion, and religion has clouded the issue. It's like, you know, in water, you walk through water and you stir up all of this dirt and silt, and it gets so that you can't see, and it's clouded. You can't see what's in there. Religion has clouded our image of God. It has distorted it, teaching us that God is the author of the problems, the hurts, the heartache, that God only loves us when we're worth loving. But when we mess up, God is this angry, harsh God who punishes us and does things. And I'm telling you, that is not an accurate representation of God. And I know some of you think, well, wait a minute, I can even show you scriptures that shows the wrath of God. You know, I've dealt with this for over a week now, trying to harmonize the harshness and the wrath of the old covenant with the grace and the mercy of the new covenant. I've already talked about those things. I'm not going to go back through all of that. Yesterday on our program, I was talking from James chapter 1, where some people have twisted verses 2 through 4 and said that God is the author of all of the problems that come into our life. And I took the very context of those verses, verses 12 on down through 17, where it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts He any man. And then in verse 16 and 17, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. God is the author of good things. God is a good God. And see, that's the very context of James chapter 1. So James 1 isn't saying that hurt and pain and problems and sickness and disease are from God. It's just saying that if you will push through those things and use your faith in God, you'll come out stronger on the other side of these problems. But God doesn't send those problems into your life. And if you believe that He does, then it's going to be hard for you to believe that God is a good God. You might say it, you know, intellectually, but when you sit there and you get your wife or your husband diagnosed with cancer, and it looks like you're going to lose them, and you're sitting there thinking, God, You did this, it's going to be hard for you to believe that God is a good God who only wants good things for you. You know, it's kind of easier to say in theory than it is in practice. But when it comes right down to it, if you believe God is the source of all the pain and the suffering in this world, then it's going to hinder your relationship with Him. Here's a verse out of Titus chapter 3, and I'm breaking right into the middle of some of the things he was saying. But it says in verse 4, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Man, this is saying that God, through His kindness and mercy, appeared unto us. And it's not according to works of righteousness that we have done. Again, this is one of the major things that religion has done to cloud the waters, to distort the image and the picture of God and keep us from understanding that God is a good God. They have basically been preaching that you have to earn God's favor, that God is only favorable towards us and kind towards us when we deserve it. And if you believe that, if you accept that as a philosophy, then you know what? You aren't ever going to feel that God is a good God, because your own conscience will condemn you. Regardless of how well you live, you are never going to live perfectly, and your own conscience is going to condemn you, and you're always going to feel like God has got you at arm's length. And even if He doesn't send you to hell, He's certainly not friendly towards you. He's certainly not kind towards you. He's not going to bless you with all of these things. You know, I just don't have the words to say what I want to say, but God is a good God. I just don't know how to express that better. God is not angry at you and me. You know, I've just recently had some things happen. I won't go into all of the details of it, but I was in Arlington, Texas, where I grew up. I got out and just walked and looked at the places that I grew up. I went back to where I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I could go back and show you hundreds of places where this happened to me, where God spoke to me here. And not all of them are positive things. Some of them were, man, I just had really bad instances. And I go back and I just saw all of this. And then I was privileged to go meet with Oral Roberts and got to go meet him at his home and visit with him. And anyway, that's another story. But some of the things that I got out of that was that some of the people were asking Oral things. And Oral just kept saying this over and over and over, that he doesn't really understand how God did what He did in his life. He didn't plan on any of this. And he just, without saying it in these words, he just kept saying over and over that he was just ordinary. He was plain. There's nothing special about him. That it's just God that touched his life. And anyway, his testimony, all of these things that I experienced, I have just been overwhelmed with what God has done in my life. I didn't seek God as such. I mean, I have sought God, but God sought me a lot more than I sought Him. God has just been good to me. And I've been out walking and just enjoying the weather here in Colorado. And I tell you what, I was just overwhelmed thinking about how good God is. Just thinking about the goodness of God. Man, things in my life could have been so much different. You know what? I had a son that died, was dead for 5 hours. And Jamie and I prayed and God brought him back from the dead. And you know what? Yes, I was involved. Yes, I believe God, but I've prayed a lot harder and a lot stronger and a lot longer for other people than I have my own son, and I didn't see them come back from the dead. It was the goodness of God that brought my son back from the dead. I've got a granddaughter that I wouldn't have had. She was born 1 year after he was raised from the dead. I wouldn't have had that if it wasn't for the goodness of God. Man, I could go back. I've just been in my own mind. I've been praising God and just overwhelmed with the goodness of God. If you would begin to start seeing that and develop this philosophy and go back. You know, I remember a woman one time that I called out in a service. I didn't call her name, but I just called out that somebody had been sexually abused and that they had just been hurt and it had paralyzed them basically in their whole life. And there was a number of people that came forward. And anyway, when I got to this woman, she was just crying, crocodile tears. You could tell that she had all kinds of problems in her life, from the sexual abuse and other things that happened to her when she was a child. And you know what I did? Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I went back, and this was God speaking through me, and I just began to tell her. I said, even though you had some bad things happen to you, I said, Satan was trying to kill you. I said, if you would go back and remember, these people thought of killing you. Their plan was to kill you, and yet God intervened. God spared your life. And you know what? I couldn't take away that there were bad things that happened, but through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I just began to show her the goodness of God, that He had preserved her life, that God had protected her, God had given her a husband and a family, and that she had all of these good things. And I just began to focus on how good God was. Yes, bad things happen to all of us, but when you focus on how good God is, it just changes your impression about everything. And anyway, this woman, through seeing these things as I spoke them through the Holy Spirit, she turned around and turned from where she was just devastated to where she was praising God and overwhelmed with the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. I'm telling you, every one of us could do this. You know, my father died when I was 12 years old. I can't say that that's a good thing. I don't believe that that was God's will. He was only 54 years old when he died. I don't believe that that was God that killed my father the way that my Baptist pastor told me that it was God that took him. I don't believe that that was God that did that. I believe that they just didn't understand about healing. They didn't understand about these kind of things. And so we weren't able to appropriate and operate in what God had for us. And so that wasn't good. It wasn't God. But did you know what? God was there, and God blessed me through this whole thing. I remember the morning. It was a Sunday morning that the pastor came over and told my brother and me that our dad had gone home. And I remember immediately God speaking to me. Immediately a supernatural peace of God came over me. And I guarantee you, the Lord brought to my remembrance immediately a scripture from Psalms chapter 27 that when your father or mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up. And of course, my father didn't forsake me in the sense that he voluntarily left, but nonetheless, I was forsaken. I was fatherless. And you know what? God took me up, and God became my father, and God became my best friend. And I can look back, and even though God didn't do that, I can see the goodness of God, that God supernaturally dealt with things. I remember when my other friends were out doing these weird things and getting off into sin and doing stuff. I remember my relationship with God over when my father died. I turned to Him. There was good that came out of it. I don't believe God killed my father, but nonetheless, God brought good out of it. I'm just saying you need to develop this attitude. Just like this says, that it's the goodness of God. That all of this mercy came not according to works of righteousness which we have done. Let me take this verse out of Romans chapter 8. This is a passage that is often misused, misapplied. But in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And just like I was sharing on those verses yesterday out of James chapter 1, where people say that all of these trials and tribulations are God doing this to us, it's not God doing it to us, but if we will trust God and go through these things on the other side, we'll be stronger because we've exercised our faith and we're built up by it. This is not saying that God causes all things to happen in our life. That is not what this is saying. You have to read that into it. And you know, this has been spoken so many times. This is a verse of Scripture that even if a person isn't a Christian, doesn't go to church, most people have heard this verse and they will just apply it across the line, a blanket statement about God that whatever happens, it must be God's will, that God works all things together for good. So there must be some purpose in these tragedies happening in our life. This verse does not say that God causes everything. It just says, we know that all things work together for good. And then there's some qualifications on it. This doesn't work together for good for every person. Let me just make an obvious statement here that some of you are going to feel is like blasphemy, but it's if you'd use your head for something besides a hat rack, I think every person would have to come to this conclusion. Not everything that happens to every person works out ultimately for good. There are people who sin and live a terrible life and they die an alcoholic, they die a prostitute, they die bitter, they die broke. They have terrible, tragic lives and not every single thing works together for good. If you would lift up your eyes and look, I think you'd have to admit that. Some people have lived terrible lives, horrible lives, And it's tragic, the damage that has happened to them and to other people. Not everything happens for good. This is not saying that God causes everything and then every single thing in every person's life works together for good. This is saying that we know that all things work together for good, and then there's some qualifications. It says, for those who love God. You know, this ought to be obvious, but again, I say that there are so many people that take this verse out of context and just make a blanket statement that whatever happens works together for good. God works it together some way for good. That is not true. This says it only works together for good to those who love God. Now, that limits the number of people that this applies to dramatically. The vast majority of people do not love God. You know, I was leading praise and worship at a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting one time, and the man who was the speaker had just come from doing a funeral that afternoon, and he came straight to this service and he spoke about how he preached on Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. And he described that he had just done the funeral of this young boy and girl who were both teenagers. They were speeding in a car, which they shouldn't have been doing. It was rainy, so the street was wet. They had both been drinking, so their reaction wasn't good, and they made a corner too fast and lost control, went off the road, hit a telephone pole, and it killed both of them. And at that funeral, he got up and talked about how all things work together for good. He said that they weren't Christians, and yet he was saying all of this worked together for good. I'm telling you, it doesn't work together for good for everybody. They did not love God. And as far as we know, unless, you know, from what I understand of the story, they went straight to hell. They were not born again. They hadn't committed their life. Every indication is that they were living a life of rebellion towards God. And this tragic situation did not work together for good, not for them. If they wound up in hell, I guarantee you there's not any redemptive value that's coming out of this. So this ought to be clear that this isn't just a statement that you can make to anybody in every situation. It makes it very clear that we know that things work together for good to them that love God. If you don't love God, it's not working together for good. The reason I'm stressing this is because if you believe that God is the one that controls every single thing that happens, then you are going to get an impression that God isn't a good God. If you think that God caused those two kids to get drunk and drive too fast on a road where it was raining and slid off and killed them and sent them to hell, and if you think that God did that, then I guarantee you, you aren't going to believe that God's a good God. That is not good. Here's more of the way you should look at it is that I don't know these things by my physical knowledge, but based on the Word of God, the Scripture says He reveals Himself against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I just know, God, that God gave these two young kids an intuitive knowledge of right and wrong, and He convicted them that what they were doing was wrong, that they shouldn't do it. I don't believe He did it just once. I bet you if I could get the details, there's no way for me to do this, but if I could somehow or another verify all of these things, I can guarantee you God spoke to them hundreds of times. It's like before they reached this place to where they killed themselves and then suffered the ultimate judgment of rejecting Jesus and therefore living in eternity without God. Before they reached that place, God had convicted them hundreds of times. I bet you people have been praying for them. Laborers have been sent across their path. It was more like this, that there was a mountain of obstacles that God put in their way, and they just persevered and climbed over all of these things. Any person that goes to hell is going to have to do it over thousands and thousands of times that God has tried to convict them and draw them unto Himself. And they just reject and reject over and over and over again. I can guarantee you God is just in what He does. God is a good God. And any person who winds up in hell is going to be a person who has chosen that. They may not have understood that their choice is exactly what the end results of them was, but they were convicted by God not to go the direction they did, and they persevered and went against all logic, all reason, all intuitive drawing of the Holy Spirit. God is a good God, and God did not cause this tragedy in their life. So it says, we know that all things work together for them that love God. If you don't love God, then you can't claim Romans 8:28. And then it also lists as a second thing here, it says, for them who are the called according to His purpose. 1 John chapter 3, I believe it's verse 8, says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. So to be called according to His purpose means that you are called to obliterate or to destroy the works of the devil. If you aren't resisting the devil, instead, if you're cooperating with him, again, going back to this example, if you're speeding when you shouldn't be speeding, if you're drinking when you're driving, if you are rebellious towards God and doing all of these things and going against God and just yielding yourself to the devil, then the tragedy that happens in your life isn't going to work together for good. It's wrong to take Romans 8:28 and just make a statement that all things work together for good. No, it's only for those who love God, for those who are the called according to His purpose. And here's another qualification on this in Romans 8:28. It starts with the word and. We know that all things work together for good. The word and is a conjunction. That links this sentence to the previous sentence. And if you would back up into the 26th and 27th verse of Romans chapter 8, it talks about interceding and the Holy Spirit making intercession through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And if you look these words up in the Greek, it's literally the word parakletos, which is talking about, it's a compound word that means to take hold together with us. The significance of this is that the Holy Spirit doesn't intercede for you without your cooperation. And it's not you that is interceding without the Holy Spirit. But when you start praying and you start seeking God and interceding, then the Holy Spirit takes hold together with you and helps you. And if you have that Spirit-filled, Spirit-led intercession working in your life, then the negative things that Satan throws at you are going to work together for good if you love God and if you're resisting the devil. But see, those are three major qualifications that most people just omit, and they take Romans 8:28 and say, all things work together for good, period. That is an untrue statement. That is a misrepresentation of what the Bible is saying. All things don't work together for good. God is a good God, and He has plans for you, but He is not the one that's putting tragedy in your life and doing these things. And if you think that that's so, then it's going to be very hard for you to believe that God is a good God. It's going to be very hard for you to believe that God killed this person that you love so much because He loved you so much and wanted to bless you with killing this person. That's just crazy. Did you know people would never believe this stuff if it wasn't for religion? You have to just basically become mindless and shut your brain off to believe that God is the one that's doing all of this tragedy. Only religious people that have been prejudiced could believe that. You know, I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to show you that God is a good God. God loves you. God has a good plan for you. It's not going to come to pass automatically. You have to cooperate with Him. And we have an enemy out there that's trying to do everything he can to short-circuit God's plan. But God is a good God. And if you would believe that, it would draw you into a closer relationship. Your faith would abound. You would get better results than you've ever had. Everything in your life would begin to change if you could just understand and really get this down as a philosophy that God is a good God. You know, I'm out of time today, but I am continuing and concluding this series tomorrow on our television program, so I encourage you to listen in then. And also listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get this teaching that I've entitled Christian Philosophy.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 1 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1047C or DVD album T1047D when you contact us. The sixth teaching in the CD album titled God is a Good God is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this sixth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TCP6C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I really believe that I've been given a mandate by God to share with the world that God is a good God and to represent Him, to re-represent Him correctly. And I'm doing everything I can to get that out, but we need people to help us. For those of you who are already partners with us, thank you. You are enabling us to reach a potential of 2.2 billion people around the world. But you know, we've just begun. There's a lot more people than that. We need to be on multiple times in multiple markets, and we just need people to become partners with us. It's expensive to share the gospel, but it's changing people's lives. So I ask you to pray about it and then call the number that you see on your screen and become a partner today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 13th through the 18th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at the Caris Christian Center, September 27th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our ministers' conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers, whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time. So make plans to join us the first week of October right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our ministers' conference.
And we'll see you there.
Join us tomorrow for Gospel Truth as Andrew continues his teaching titled Christian Philosophy.
God is pleased when you and I prosper. He is not pleased when we don't prosper. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." God is a good God. He wants you to succeed. God is your best friend. Nobody's pulling for you more than God is. You know, this isn't the message that most people are getting through religion, but it is the message that the Bible teaches.